This is Dave, the Scholarship Coach, with your daily scholarship for Saturday, March 10th, 2024. And today I am joined by a special guest, Dr. Stephanie Steckel, who is a board-certified orthodontist and licensed to practice in Delaware, New Hampshire, and South Dakota. Stephanie recently published her first book entitled Crooked to Straight, Your Roadmap to Your Best Smile, How to Prepare for Your Orthodontic Treatment, Handle the Process, and Enjoy the Benefits of Straighter Teeth. And perhaps the main reason I wanted to have Stephanie on is because she is also part of an organization called Toastmasters that I think would be very helpful for lots of my student listeners. So, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, Dave, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on with you today and share some information about Toastmasters. I love the organization, and I'm glad to share what that organization can do for people who are not Toastmasters, who are younger. And I think there's a lot there for them.
Absolutely. Well, so many people might not even know what Toastmasters is. Can you tell us what that organization is, what they do, and maybe what your role is?
Sure. I am a Toastmaster. I am so excited to say that. I think it's been lurking in my background. When I was practicing full time, I thought about it. It is currently my newest hobby. I joined about 18 months ago. It is an international organization that promotes individual learning to help people learn to present themselves well, and for those who have it, to get over the fear of public speaking. I wished I joined much sooner. I wish I listened to that inner voice a long time ago. And you may wonder why I say that. For me, as a dentist for many years, talking to patients one-on-one was very straightforward, was mm-hmm. fine. I even talked to patients and remember to take my hands out of their mouth when I talk to them, which is important because I can understand them better.
Right.
Yet when it came to doing presentations in front of a group or in front of a, you know, an organization that asked me to come speak, I never felt as comfortable as I wanted to be. So the idea of joining Toastmasters was always kind of there, and I finally mm-hmm. joined about 18 months ago.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I am a big Seinfeld fan. In fact, I cannot go to sleep without Seinfeld on in the background. And one of his bits, and I won't get it exactly right, but it's something like people's greatest fear is public speaking. And if you attend a funeral, you'd much rather be in the box than having to give the eulogy. So yeah, I think everybody can relate to not being comfortable speaking in public.
Yes. And you know, what's wonderful is that it's an international organization, and that's the number one reason people join is because they're scared of speaking in public. And I remember that Seinfeld episode too. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But really the magic of Toastmasters happens in the club meetings, and you join a club. There's other people there. It's a defined agenda. Everybody knows their roles. And you get the opportunity to speak in what is basically a very safe, supportive environment. So you mm-hmm. create a speech or you speak impromptu, and you get feedback on it. It's usually very complimentary, but with some sandwiched constructive criticism. So it works really well. It's been around. It's actually the 100th anniversary this year of Toastmasters. Wow, are going to be in Anaheim, California for the big celebration. So I'm very glad to be in it. I think I'm just starting to peel back the benefits of membership.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously my focus is for younger people. Does Toastmasters, is that something that a young person, a high school student or a college student can join, or do they have a special program for younger people?
They have a special program for 14 to 18 year olds, basically high school students.
Okay.
And it's called the Youth Leadership Program. It's YLP. It's a 6 to 8 week program that each session lasts about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And in fact, this week in our Toastmaster district in Delaware, we started a session with about 25 students. Now, you can have multiple groups of students, but this particular one started this Monday with 25 students, and you have a team of volunteer Toastmasters that are meeting with them and helping them understand how you put together an agenda, how you plan speeches, and then you can develop the structure of a meeting that way. Mm-hmm. The students are then encouraged to give a planned speech. They're taught how to construct a speech, let's say an introduction, you know, 3 points of information and then a summary. And then they receive constructive feedback, and they're presenting in front of their peers. So their peers get to, they're probably just as nervous as the one speaking, I promise you. They're watching their friends speak. They also get an opportunity in that 6 to 8 week period to give impromptu speeches. And that is where you get up and you are given a topic, let's say space travel, and you are asked to give a cogent 1 to 2 minute presentation and summary on space travel. And you could go anywhere you want with that, but you have to be able to present impromptu. So it's a great way to think on your feet, of course. They also go over with the students how they can develop eye contact with their audience, how they can develop vocal variety, you know, speak faster, slower, louder, muted, and also encourage them to build their vocabulary and develop their body gestures when they speak. How do you, you know, when do you move your hands? When do you move here, move there? So they give a lot of feedback. And so, and they encourage all 25 of the students to, each one of them gets to get up and present in some form or fashion. I think the one of the best things is that near the end, they start to learn to evaluate each other. And then that's when you really learn, because you're also listening to that other person. You have to listen carefully and give constructive feedback. So it's a, it's quite a, quite a good program. It's kind of an, in a nutshell, a Toastmaster experience for high schoolers.
That's awesome. Well, do you have maybe one or two tips you could give to a young person listening on how they could be a better speech maker and perhaps get over their fear of public speaking?
I could probably give you certainly my favorite number one tip, and then I got a couple others, I think.
Okay.
So my number one tip is, if you're asked to speak, let's say you're in this group of 25, and next Monday they said, okay, Dave, you're going to present for 5 minutes, give a 5 minute speech next week. And so what they'll ask you to do that in advance, they won't put you on the spot. So let's say, you know, you're going to be, you're Dave, you're going to present next week. I recommend you speak on a topic that you know well. Now, if you were a Toastmaster like me, you would get up and give an icebreaker speech. And that is the speech that you introduce yourself to the club. I do this. This is where I'm from. This is what I like. And then a summary statement. If you're a student, let's say in high school, and you're in the 4-H club, I'd say speak about being in the 4-H club. A lot of people in that group probably don't know what that is anyway. So introduce what it is, give three examples of what you do in 4-H club, and then, you know, summarize the benefits of 4-H. It's basically speech organization. So if you're nervous and you've got to get up and speak, my number one tip is, know that everybody knows you're nervous. So just be nervous along with everybody else, because they're nervous for you. But when you're speaking about a topic you know, you're going to be less nervous speaking on it. My second tip is, just feel that nervousness and use the energy. You're actually preparing a speech. You're giving a gift to that audience. You're giving them something from you to them. And it's a gift, so you can feel good about that. And my third tip is, the people listening to you may not be listening. They may be nervous and just focused on themselves. At least when I was a teenager, I had to learn that the world doesn't revolve around me. Even though I was one of eight kids, I grew up in a big family. I know the world didn't revolve around me, but you know, you get so self-absorbed sometimes. The students in the audience may not even hear any of the mistakes you think you made. And you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. One of the things I learned early on in Toastmasters, you make a mistake, you misspeak something, just keep going. Don't go back and correct yourself. Just keep going.
Yeah. Yep. I really like that first point of essentially be prepared. Know what you're going to talk about. And I also like that second point of just put yourself out there. You're giving a gift to your listeners. You know, they're going to get value out of what you have to say, as long as you did put in that prep, right?
Exactly. Everybody, I think, or let's just say the vast majority, are capable of doing this. In getting up and speaking, you do have to put in the work. You have to practice, you have to research, you have to structure it. You just have to put in the work. You have to believe you can do it. If you put in the work, you undoubtedly will do it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, before we hit the record button, I mentioned to you that there are a number of scholarships where instead of writing an essay or doing some type of art project, they are required to give a speech or a presentation. So Students who are interested in those types of scholarships should listen. Hopefully they're podcast patrons, because I'm going to share a list of those particular scholarships for my patrons. And then even for scholarships where that's not the primary project, there are scholarships where having an interview is part of winning the scholarship. So wow. Definitely learning to speak kind of in a group setting, and then also maybe just in a one-on-one interview for somebody who's looking to give you a scholarship would be extremely helpful for many students.
I think so.
Well, one last question about Toastmasters and the student program. How could students find out more about that?
So the youth leadership program is shared on the Toastmasters.org website. So it's Toastmasters, okay, plural.org website. And what you want to do if you're not a Toastmaster and you want to learn more about the youth leadership program is you go to the homepage and you type in your zip code. And okay, what it'll do, it'll say find a club. So you want to find a club. You're not going to join that club. What you're going to do is look for a club in your area that has contact information, and you reach out to them and say, we're a group of students. We go to this school. It doesn't have to be 25 students. It could be fewer than that. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to form a youth leadership program and get some help from Toastmasters. I will tell you, if somebody sent me that message today to my, I'm in a couple Toastmaster clubs, I'd be thrilled, because mm-hmm, I'm working towards a distinguished Toastmaster goal. So that's, okay, it's like a big project for me to take on.
Right.
But it's also a project I work with other Toastmasters to carry out with the students. So you go to there and you put in your information. You know, you may not get a taker, the clubs may not always reply in the way you want them to, but undoubtedly you're going to find a club that is interested in working with the students to put together a community, in a sense it's a community service project for a club. And when you get to teach people who don't know what you know, and you have to explain what you know, of course you're going to learn more, yep, and you're going to get better at what you do. So I find I love to see a group, call my club and say, hey, we'd like to do that. I'm actually going to initiate a program for the dental tech. I consulted a dental tech school in my area in Delaware, and I'm going to bring in the program for a few weeks starting in April. And we're going to talk about getting this started. So these are dental assistants. They probably may go on to become dentists, who knows, but they will be better at public speaking. Is my goal to help them become better when they do the interviews like you were just talking about.
Right. Well, that is a great segue to talk about the other aspect of your life and your interest, and that is orthodontia. Can you tell us just a little bit about your background in that? And then let's talk about your book, Crooked to Straight.
Okay, sure. As I mentioned, I was one of eight kids growing up. I grew up in Southern California. And I grew up during the era of Chips and Charlie's Angels. So if you were looking good, you had nice teeth, you're on TV. You know, that was an important part of being on TV, is having a nice smile. And a lot of those, yep, people had nice smiles. At the time, when I was growing up, I liked studying art and science. And I thought becoming a dentist would be a cool way to combine those interests. So I went to dental school at UCLA and became a dentist for about 5 years after that. And over time, I realized I kind of turned myself into a specialist, because I kept doing more and more orthodontic procedures. So I said, I'm going to make this official. I went back to school, became a specialist, and then set up my own practice for 23 years in Delaware. Now, I did other things other than working on patients' teeth. I also visited the states in the country. I visited about 40 states and their capitals. I want to get to all 50, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I do some dog agility training and volunteer, oh, wow, in my neighborhood, okay, with Homeowners Association and in the Rotary Club. But I've always had an interest in writing, and I wrote articles for local newspapers and my website blog. And then I decided, well, I'm going to put this into a book for my patients. So, well, any patient really, Crooked to Straight, Your Roadmap to Your Best Smile. And then you mentioned that. So the idea with writing the book is ultimately I want people to, whether if you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, you think your teeth could be straighter, this book can help you understand what your options are.
Okay.
Because everybody would come in saying, am I a candidate for braces or aligners, whatever. And we would have a talk and say, well, yes, you are, or you can look at these options. It kind of was distilled from, let's say, thousands of conversations over the years with patients. So the book basically helps you find the right doctors, ask questions, and set expectations. Every patient has a responsibility in the experience of treatment. I mean, I feel that if you have a good doctor-patient relationship, you're more likely to have a better outcome in your orthodontic treatment. And I find that also, you know, if you go in to have a consult with an orthodontist, you're probably going to get about a 7-minute exam with the doctor. And that includes time to ask your questions. Maybe you don't have any questions and that's fine. Maybe all you want is straight teeth and that's fine. Well, in the book, what I ask you to do is think about what in specifically, before you make a big investment of your money and time, what is it specifically you want to fix? And the last thing is, you can read the book content on your own time. You can spend hours reading. Well, it won't take you that long, but you have more than 7 minutes to read the book. You can understand what you're getting involved in first. And you can get the book at my website, crookedtostraightbook.com, or at amazon.com.
Well, I will put a link to both in the show notes of the episode, and of course, a link to Toastmasters as well. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the show, telling us a little bit more about Toastmasters and their youth program. And anything else that you'd like to say before I let you go?
Well, I wish everybody a successful 2024, whether they're getting orthodontic treatment or not. And if you are getting treatment and you want to make sure you have a good doctor-patient relationship, certainly my book could be a resource to you. And if you're thinking about joining Toastmasters, just do it. It's a huge benefit to you, and it could be to some of your family as well.